All right, members, please start taking your seats. I'd like to call the Commerce meeting to order. Please silence all electronic devices. Ms. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Chair Anglia.
Here.
Vice Chair Drake. Republican Committee Wilt Beltran.
Here.
Ranking Democratic Member Silvers. Representatives Barnaby.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Daly.
Here.
DeSegley.
Here.
Fabricio.
Here.
Geller.
Here.
Haig.
Here.
Latvala. Maggard.
Here.
McClure.
Here.
Nixon is excused. Umphrey. Plakin. Placencia. Rodriguez. Romo. Schoaf. Slotsberg.
Here.
Tomco. Will Height. A quorum is present, Mr. Chair.
Okay, members, let the record reflect that a quorum is present. We're going to dive right into the festivities of today. Members, we're going to take up House Bill 483 by Rep. Altman regarding electronic legal documents. You are recognized to explain your bill.
Is this mic on? Okay, good. In 2019, legislation was enacted authorizing the remote online notarization and witnessing of electronic documents. There are some statutory glitches, and what this bill does, it fixes these glitches and makes the needed technical corrections to the 2019 Act. SB 483 does not make any substantive changes to the statutes, or House Bill 483 doesn't make any substantive changes.
Having explained the bill, members, any questions of the bill sponsor? Any questions of the bill sponsor? Showing none, we're in public testimony. I have some cards here. Zane Smith, AARP. I have him waving in support. H. Brown, Real Property Probate and Trust Law Section of the Florida Bar. Waving in support, thank you. Martha Edenfield, Real Property Probate Trust, Section of the Florida Bar. Waving in support. I'm showing no other public testimony. Members, we are in debate. In debate on the bill before us. Showing no debate, you are recognized to close.
Wave close.
Having waived close, the question now occurs on House Bill 483. Ms. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Vice Chair Drake.
Yes.
Republican Committee Wilt Beltran.
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Silvers.
Yes.
Representatives Barnaby.
Yes.
Brown.
Yes.
Daly.
Yes.
DeSegley.
Yes.
Fabricio.
Yes.
Geller.
Yes.
Haig.
Yes.
Latvala. Maggard.
Yes.
McClure.
Yes.
Nixon is excused. Umphrey.
Yes.
Plakin.
Yes.
Placencia. Rodriguez.
Yes.
Romo.
Yes.
Schoaf.
Yes.
Slotsberg.
Yes.
Tomco. Will Height.
Yes.
Chair Anglia.
Yes.
The bill passes, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Members, by your vote, show that House Bill 483 reported favorably. We're going to move on to CS for House Bill 339 by Rep. Robinson, Business Organizations. You are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. CS for HB 339. You may remember a couple years ago, Chair Byrd carried a big corporations bill that last year I had several fixes to it. So this is a further fix to the Corporations Act. It does four major things. It expands the market out exception for minority shareholders and corporations traded in an organized exchange subject to a comparable trading process. Secondly, it removes broad language for appraisal rights in certain circumstances. Third, it revises definitions and glitches and adds the ability for a corporation to prepay a portion of its fair market shares to mitigate interest rate risk. And finally, it adjusts timelines for how long you can name a company in a dissolved corporation situation. And that's the bill, Mr. Chair.
Having explained the bill, members, any questions of the bill sponsor? Any questions of the bill sponsor? Showing none is public testimony. Have a couple cards here. James Hatton, Family First Prevention Program, an opponent of the bill. Jake Farmer, Florida Retail Federation, waving in support. Doug Bell, Business Law Section of Florida Bar, waving in support. Thank you. I'm showing no other public testimony. Members, we are in debate. In debate on the bill before us. Showing no debate, you are recognized to close.
Wave, Chair.
Having waived close, a question now occurs on CS for House Bill 339. Ms. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Vice Chair Drake?
Yes.
Republican Committee Wilt Beltran?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Silvers?
Yes.
Representatives Barnaby?
Yes.
Brown?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
DeSegli?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Geller?
Yes.
Haig?
Yes.
Latvala?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
McClure?
Yes.
Nixon is excused. Umphrey?
Yes.
Placon? Placencia? Rodriguez?
Yes.
Romo?
Yes.
Schoaf?
Yes.
Slotsberg?
Yes.
Tomko?
Yes.
Will Height?
Yes.
Cherangolia?
Yes.
The bill passes, Mr. Chair.
Members, by your vote, show that CS for House Bill 339 is reported favorably. Members, we're going to move on to CS for House Bill 539 by Rep. Byrd regarding renewable energy. You are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for your consideration today. I have House Bill 539 regarding renewable energy. It amends the definition of renewable energy to recognize that renewable energy can also be used to displace traditional fuel sources and to recognize that renewable natural gas is a renewable energy source. When we talk about renewable natural gas, what we're talking about is methane, which is a naturally produced byproduct of certain processes, including anaerobic digestion, which is animals engaging in digestion. So this will, the bill will allow use of renewables, including RNG in the transportation sector. The bill does not interfere with solar, wind, or any other energy initiatives. That is the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Having explained the bill, members, any questions of the bill sponsor? Any questions of the bill sponsor? Showing none, I see that you have an amendment. You are recognized to explain Amendment 1.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, it's a technical amendment removing redundant language. That is the amendment.
Having explained the amendment, members, is there any objection? Any objection to the amendment? So without objection, we are going to... So without objection, members, we are going to adopt Amendment 1. We are back on the bill as amended. Any questions on the bill as amended? Any questions on the bill as amended? Showing none, we are in public testimony. Do we have any public testimony on the bill? Jonathan Weber, Florida Conservation Voters, waves in opposition. Dale Calhoun, Florida Natural Gas Association, waving in support. David Cullen, Sierra Club, waving in opposition. Kenya Corey, Brightmark Energy, a proponent of the bill. Michael Castle, Chesapeake Utilities Corporation, waving in support. Thank you. Joshua Boisvert. Did I pronounce that right? Close enough. Florida Public Utilities waving in support. I'm showing no other public testimony. Members, we're in debate. In debate on the bill before us. Rep. Geller in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to thank the sponsor for this bill. This bill, to me, means that we're going to be cleaner because we're going to be capturing this natural gas, this methane that otherwise pollutes our environment, and, you know, capturing it in a commercially advantageous way is better than having it released in our environment. And my understanding is this also helps because it may actually help local government to be able to, you know, bond things, get things done, because it gives them a source of some additional possible revenue. And I'm really just very pleased to see a bill that's not trying to cripple local government for once, that's actually trying to help. So for those reasons, thank you, Rep. Byrd. This is a Chair Byrd. I think this is a very good, logical bill. Let's get this stuff contained, and let's get it put to some good use. I think that's the environmentally smart thing to do. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any further debate? Any further debate? Showing none, Rep. Byrd, you are recognized to close.
Members, until our own bloviating can be captured as a renewable energy source, this bill will have to do, and I ask for your favorable support.
Having closed on the bill, the question now occurs on CS for House Bill 539. Ms. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Vice Chair Drake?
Yes.
Republican Committee Wilt Beltran?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Silvers?
Yes.
Representatives Barnaby?
Yes.
Brown?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
DeSegli?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Geller?
Yes.
Haig?
Yes.
Latvala?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
McClure?
Yes.
Nixon is excused. Umphrey? Placon?
Yes.
Placencia? Rodriguez?
Yes.
Romo?
Yes.
Schoaf?
Yes.
Schlotzberg.
Yes.
Tomko.
Yes.
Will Height.
Yes.
Chair Angolia.
Yes.
The bill passes, Mr. Chair.
Members, by your vote, show that CS for House Bill 539 reported favorably with committee substitute.
Thank you.
Okay, members, we're going to move to CS for House Bill 1151 by Rep. Brannon regarding Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles. You're recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, committee members. This is this year's agency package for the Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles. Contains about nine topics. Majority are adopting, six of them are adopting federal rules and regulations. In summary, this allows the department to permanently revoke a commercial driver's license for someone convicted of human trafficking that included the use of a commercial motor vehicle. Aligns Florida law with federal rules for commercial driver license expiration dates. Closes a loophole for commercial carriers placed out of service. Realigns the texting while driving offense for truck drivers as a serious disqualifying offense based on a federal audit. Adopts federal regulations for commercial motor vehicles since last adopted back in 2018. Aligns the exemption for an odometer disclosure to match the updated federal rules. There are also two little clarifying issues. Some of you may recall that commercial motor vehicle enforcement was moved from the Department of Transportation over to the Department of Highway Safety under the Highway Patrol in 2011. This will update one of the sections of the law under their purview to reflect that it is now under Department of Highway Safety Motor Vehicles. Also clarifies that current seatbelt regulations in Florida are applicable when the vehicle is at a traffic signal. And lastly, the bill establishes subpoena authority for the department to obtain critical testimony and documents from third-party entities that cannot be obtained under current law, which would enhance the department's ability to conduct administrative investigations related to motor vehicle registrations, titles, and driver's license. That's the bill.
Members haven't explained the bill. Any questions of the bill sponsor? Any questions of the bill sponsor? Showing none, we're in public testimony. Chief Jeff Dixon, FHP. Waiving in support. Thank you, sir. Kevin Jacobs, Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles, here for information. Thank you. Alex Miller, Florida Trucking Association, waiving in support. Showing no further public testimony, members, we are in debate. In debate on the bill before us, any debate? Showing none, you are recognized to close.
Waive close.
Having waived close, a question now occurs on CS for House Bill 1151. Ms. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Vice Chair Drake.
Yes.
Republican Committee Wilt Beltran.
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Silvers.
Yes.
Representatives Barnaby.
Yes.
Brown.
Yes.
Daly.
Yes.
DeSegli.
Yes.
Fabricio.
Yes.
Geller.
Yes.
Haig.
Yes.
Latvala.
Yes.
Maggart.
Yes.
McClure.
Yes.
Nixon is excused. Omfroy.
Yes.
Placon. Placencia. Rodriguez.
Yes.
Rommel.
Yes.
Schoaf.
Yes.
Schlotzberg.
Yes.
Tomko.
Yes.
Will Height.
Yes.
Chair Angolia.
Yes.
The bill passes, Mr. Chair.
Members, by your vote, show that CS for House Bill 1151 reported favorably. For another peel of the apple, we're going to, for Rep. Brannon, stay up there. House Bill 1359 regarding Public Records Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles. You were recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is the public records component to HB 1151 that we just heard. Provides a public records exemption for information received by the department as part of the department's investigations of suspected violations with respect to private rebuilt inspection providers, motor vehicle titles, registrations, dealer and manufacturer licensing, and driver's license and identification cards. This exemption shields the investigative records from disclosure until the investigation ceases to be active or administrative action is taken by the department or been made a part of any hearing or part of a court proceeding, after which the investigative records are no longer confidential and may be publicly disclosed.
Members haven't explained the bill. Any questions of the bill sponsor? Any questions of the bill sponsor? Showing none, into public testimony, Dave Serter, representing himself. Do not see him here. He is a proponent of the bill. Showing no other public testimony, members, we are in debate. In debate on the bill before us, Rep. Geller in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Because of the very limited nature of the public records exemption and the fact that it only is during an active investigation, First Amendment Foundation, I'm led to believe, is neutral on this bill, and therefore I'm up on the bill. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Members, any further debate? Any further debate? Showing none, you are recognized to close.
Wave close.
Having waived close, question now occurs on House Bill 1359. Ms. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Vice Chair Drake?
Yes.
Republican Committee Wilt Beltran?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Silvers?
Yes.
Representatives Barnaby?
Yes.
Brown?
Yes.
Daley?
Yes.
DeSegli?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Geller?
Yes.
Haig?
Yes.
Lotvalla?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
McClure?
Yes.
Nixon is excused. Umphrey?
Yes.
Placon?
Yes.
Placencia? Rodriguez?
Yes.
Rommel?
Yes.
Schoaf?
Yes.
Slotsberg?
Yes.
Tomko?
Yes.
Will Height?
Yes.
Cherengolia?
Yes.
The bill passes, Mr. Chair.
Members, by your vote, show that House Bill 1359 reported favorably.
Thank you.
Moving on, we're going to move on to House Bill 1539 by Rep. Jenny regarding Public Records Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services. You are recognized to explain your bill.
Chairman, thank you so much for having me today. I appreciate it. Members, House Bill 1539 would exempt from public record the home addresses, telephone numbers, and other personally identifying information for current and former inspectors of the Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services. There are currently 300-plus salaried inspectors for DACs. The result of inspections can have significant impacts on regulated entities and their employees, thus subjecting inspectors to threats or retaliatory conduct. The proposed language combines and streamlines the exemption language currently enacted for DBPR and the inspectors that do virtually the same exact work over there in that department. And members, in interest of time, I won't go through them, but I do have detailed records about threats and other things of that nature that have been levied or been thrown against these employees. That's the bill, Mr. Chair.
Members, any questions of the bill sponsor? Rep. Maggard, any questions?
Thank you. Where's the First Amendment Foundation on this?
For a response. I'm sure Geller knows. You want to ask Geller?
I'll cede my time to Representative Geller if you like, sir.
Yep. Rep. Jenny is ceding his time to Rep. Geller. You are recognized for a response.
I believe they're neutral on it.
I didn't hear it. What?
First Amendment Foundation is neutral. Any further questions? Any further questions? Showing none, I have one appearance card. Carlos Nathan, Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services, waving in support. I'm showing no other public testimony. Members, we are in debate. In debate on the bill before us. Rep. Geller, you're recognized in debate. I know you didn't ask, but I know you really want to say something.
I think the public necessity for this is evident based on the fact that these people really are at risk. And we don't, in the society we live in today, we don't want to see anybody that is trying to do their job for the state of Florida be placed at unreasonable risk. So although I'm not positive where they are, the FAF, I'm for the bill.
Thank you, Gelosaurus. Love you, brother. Any further debate on the bill before us? Any further debate? Showing none, you are recognized to close.
I'll just let Rep. Geller's statement stand as my close, sir.
Having closed on the bill, the question now occurs on House Bill 1539. Ms. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Vice Chair Drake?
Yes.
Republican Committee Wilt Beltran?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Silvers?
Yes.
Representatives Barnaby?
Yes.
Brown?
Yes.
Daley?
Yes.
DeSegli?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Geller?
Yes.
Haig?
Yes.
Lotvalla?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
McClure?
Yes.
Nixon is excused. Umphrey?
Yes.
Placon,
yes.
Placencia, Rodriguez,
yes.
Rommel,
yes.
Schoaf,
yes.
Slotsberg,
yes.
Tomko,
yes.
Will Height,
yes.
Cherengolia,
yes.
The bill passes, Mr. Chair.
Members, by your vote, show that House Bill 1535 reported favorably.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members.
Members, we're going to move on to CS for House Bill 415 by Rep. Botana regarding fire department communications. You are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Ranking Member. Thank you, Vice Chair. Committee, this bill removes the word high-rise from the statute and requires local fire authorities to determine radio signal strength
in all buildings regardless of height. This bill extends the length of time existing buildings to come into compliance by 5 years to January 1, 2027, and that is the bill, sir. Chair.
Having explained the bill, members, any questions of the bill sponsor? Any Rep. Gohmert questions?
Does the fire marshal have a position on this?
For response.
Yes, they do, sir.
Follow up. What is it?
You're recognized for a response.
We're working together with that, sir.
Follow up,
yeah. That's a good thing, Rep. I'm glad to hear you're working with them. Where are they at as we're talking? What do they say about it?
For a response.
I mean, they're not here, are they?
For a response.
Yes, sir. We have an amendment to the bill that will address some of their concerns, sir.
One more question, Mr. Chairman.
You got it.
Part of this is like 2029 or 2030. That seems like for high rises, which they got a lot of in my district. I'm a little concerned about telling them
that
not to
like
worry.
That sounds like debate, Rep. Geller, not a question.
I'm getting there. I'm a little concerned about the length of time that they don't have to do anything. Can you find a way to ease my concerns, Rep?
Rep. Otani, you were recognized to sort of answer that half question.
Representative Geller, thank you, Chair. Wait for the amendment. You're going to be blown away, sir.
Good enough. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Hasn't happened. Well, it doesn't happen every day.
And who said there is never must-watch TV on the Florida Channel? Any other questions on the bill? Any other questions on the bill? Okay, members, just to wait.
We have a question.
Oh, Chairman. Rep. DeSigley. You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A quick question. What do you know the two questions? One, who bears the cost of these radio communications in a high-rise building?
For a response.
The home builder or the residents of the building, sir.
Follow.
Do you know approximately how much that costs? And again, I know there are, you know, several high-rises. It's all relative, but can you give an estimate on what that would cost?
For a response.
Absolutely. Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the great question, Rep. DeSigley. In my hometown, there's a new high-rise going up. It's 25 stories, I believe, and the system will cost $450,000. So that is the repeater system inside the building. Luckily, in my district, we do have a deal with the fire department where they have repeaters in a truck where they donate to the system. So it's very extensive and very, very costly, but, you know, not one firefighter's life is worth that. So we are working, you know, along the lines here to keep everybody happy. We support our firefighters. I love my firefighters.
You need a follow-up? Any other questions of the bill sponsor? Any other questions of the bill sponsor? Okay, members, I just want to lay the groundwork for what's coming next. We have an amendment filed by Rep. Botana, Amendment 1, but we have a substitute amendment filed by Rep. Barnaby. So what we are going to do is we're going to take up the substitute amendment first. Just want to let everybody know when we take up the substitute amendment, if it is adopted, it will automatically amend the underlying bill. Okay? Just want to make sure everybody is clear with that. So it is my understanding that the substitute amendment filed by Rep. Barnaby was done at your pleasure, and you are going to recognize the substitute amendment, which would, if adopted, replace Amendment 1, also filed by you. You're recognized to explain the substitute amendment.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Representative Barnaby, for helping out in this situation. What we're going to do, folks, is on line 20, we're switching the date from January 2027 to January 2025. Along with line 26, we're going to change that 2027 to 2025. And along with line 27, we're switching that from 2030 to 2025 to bring this into alignment so we can hopefully not kick the can down the road any longer. And that is the amendment, sir.
Rep, before I ask for questions on the amendment, I just want to ask you a question which may answer any of their questions. This basically aligns all the dates to be at the same time. Is that accurate?
Yes, sir. Yes, Chair, correct.
Any questions on the substitute amendment? Rep. Geller, any questions?
So I am blown away by this, but I do have One question. It says the deadline to apply for permits to install the required devices. Is there a deadline for installation of them?
For a response.
The to apply for it is a year previous to get the permits. As far as that, that is not recognized in the bill, so we'll have to, you know, at that time, that'll be up to the fire departments at that time to decide that.
Follow up?
Yes. Can you explain that again?
Rep. Platano for further explanation.
Yeah. So thank you, Chair and Rep. Geller. So December 31st would be 2026, so you have 1 year to come into compliance with the signal strength for that said building. And then as far as that, that's up to the, you know, if it comes into single strength, that's the end of the line for that.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Rep. McLaurin, questions?
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Rep. Botana. Can you walk me through, to the extent that these deadlines aren't met, what the repercussions would be for the unit owners or the contractors?
For a response.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Rep. McClure. As far as that, we would have the fire marshals and the fire departments at the local level to institute their jurisdiction at that time.
Do you need a follow-up? Nope. Okay. Rep. Will Heighton, questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative, could you... I just want to clarify a little on what you said there. You talked about a fire department in their jurisdiction. A lot of departments are using mutual aid and other agencies for assistance, especially in high rises, because of the vast amount of resources it takes. Is that jurisdiction going to have that same, are those adjoining jurisdictions going to have that same opportunity to utilize the same system and have the capability to work together on that system in those buildings? If they use different communication systems, companies. So again, because of the diversity of the building and the different agencies, will they be able to work together and communicate well on this?
For a response.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Representative Will Height. Sir, we're gonna have to maybe get together after and sit down and obviously have a conversation about this. When we had our phone call yesterday, this is something new, and I appreciate the conversation. I look forward to working with you on this, sir.
Any further questions, Rep? I know that we have some people set to speak on this. You could probably ask some questions at that point. Rep. McLaurin, questions again?
Thank you, Chairman. Rep, back to the question of if they're out of compliance, and I appreciate your answer, it would go to the local chiefs, but or local fire department. Have you contemplated with the stakeholders, and maybe you can walk me through, you know, we're seeing supply side issues throughout all sorts of silos today as a function of the pandemic and production. Can you walk me through, you know, has there been any discussion or have we contemplated that if the materials necessary to do this work aren't readily available, that there would be extensions or caveats, et cetera, maybe... Help me with that, and if not, is that something you're able to consider moving forward?
For a response.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Rep. McClure, for the question. Great question. Absolutely. I mean, the Florida legislature, we're here to work with anybody. We don't want to put anybody under an impediment or a small town in Central Florida because we have to come into compliance. And, you know, that is one of the personal things I come up with is we kick the can down the road, yes, and I know we've talked with Rep. Wilhite. But 3 years from now, we have a new technology. Let's not bore holes in a building that we don't need to, you know, and that is the biggest thing. That's the issue with the four stories. You know, there's a lot of small towns. Their municipalities are under four stories. That's why that four-story minimum is in there.
Any other questions of the bill sponsor on Barnaby's substitute amendment? Rep. Slosberg, did you have a question? Oh. Rep. Slosberg, any questions?
Thank you, Chair. Has the state fire marshal weighed in, and is he supportive of the bill as amended?
For a response.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Rep. Slosberg. We are working with CFO Petronas We met with his staff this morning and also last night, and also working with Senator Hooper on this bill. So everybody's in line here, and we're working towards that.
Members, I just want to remind everyone that we do have speakers coming up that you can ask some of those questions to. Any other questions on the substitute amendment? Any other questions? Okay. Showing none. Any debate? Do we have any appearance cards on the substitute amendment? Showing none. Any debate on the substitute amendment? Any debate on the substitute amendment? Okay. You're recognized to close on the substitute amendment?
Waive close.
Okay. Having waived closed, all in favor of adoption of the substitute amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Show the amendment adopted. We are back on the bill as amended. Any questions on the bill as amended? Any questions? I just got a quick question. This is your first time before the Commerce Committee, right?
Yes, Chair. I mean,
what do you do for a living?
Wash boats, sir.
So is it, I'm just wondering, and your last name is?
Botana, sir, not Botania.
But it's close enough, right?
Correct,
sir. So is that like a self-fulfilling prophecy that Botana, boats?
Biological determinism.
It might be. I'm just wondering, what if your last name was Garbage? Would you be in the waste hauling business like Chair DeSigley? All right. Showing no other questions of the bill as amended, members, we are into public testimony. Dane Bennett, Florida Home Builders Association, waiving in support. Jim Milliken, Florida Fire Marshals Association, an opponent of the bill. Richard Pinsky, Emergency Communication Industry of Florida, an opponent of the bill. You're recognized when you get to the podium.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Richard Pinsky, I represent the Emergency Communications Industry of Florida. We are in opposition to a portion of the bill. Understand the need for the bill. Best example I can give is similar to sprinklers. These buildings need to be retrofitted. So tightening up the date, but at the same time allowing a little more extension makes sense, and we support that. Our opposition is really on, and I don't know where this ended up with the substitute, but in the bill, as originally the CS, on line 27 is the language that was just referenced and where our discomfort is. And that is the language that addresses not, it appears as though it's an exemption for buildings four stories or less, but really think of it more as a repeal. Because current statute, current national fire code, state fire code, every building code official in the state all operate under the current adoption of the fire code, which says all buildings have to have a radio signal strength sufficient for the life, safety of firemen as well as law enforcement. My folks are the contractors. That was an aggressive quote, by the way, Representative Botana. I'm sure a lot of our members would love to operate in your section of the state. But nonetheless, they go out. The first thing they do when you pull a permit is you are required to show by a survey what that signal strength is. If you meet the signal strength, whether it's four stories or 20 stories, by the way, signal strength gets better the higher up you go, because there's nothing blocking it. The lower the floors, the worse the signal strength. Nonetheless, if you can demonstrate that you have a signal strength sufficient that when that law enforcement officer, that fire rescue personnel enter the building, can communicate instantly, you don't have to do anything. But if it doesn't register, then yes, you are required to institute something that will make that signal strength sufficient. So we believe currently the statute, the way it is, and the fire code, the way it is, there's enough of a loophole that you can do it. Also in the bill, if you look at the last two lines of the bill, starting on line, 51 of the underlying bill, you have the reference that from now on, you can put a repeater on a fire truck or on a police car. That's what that language means. Will it work? Maybe not so good, but it's another loophole, if I can refer to it that way, that you can use to say my building will be sufficient. So let's be clear as I close. We're talking about four-story buildings that are hospitals, nursing homes, schools, universities. In the bill, it says apartments and buildings. So I understand trying to narrow it for apartments and buyer beware, but there's other four-story buildings that we have to consider when we do this. I have chatted briefly with Representative Botana. We are in communication. I believe this bill only had two references. The first committee is when that four-story language was put onto the bill. This is the next opportunity that we've had to speak to this. So we are confident that along with the State Fire Marshal's Office, along with Representative Botana, we can maybe narrow this to say, here are the conditions that you don't have to do it for a four-story building. But the way it is right now, a blanket one-size-fits-all across the state is really not acceptable. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir. Stephen Lohan, Bonita Springs Fire Control and Rescue District.
Stand in opposition as
written. Opposition to the bill. Thank you. Greg DeWitt, Florida Fire Chiefs Association. Sure, come on up. An opponent of the bill, you will recognize when you get to the podium.
Good afternoon. I just want to thank you all for allowing me to speak. For the record, my name is Greg DeWitt, Fire Chief of Bonita Springs Fire Department, also Southwest Florida Regional Director of the Florida Fire Chiefs Association, and also a former city councilman of Bonita Springs. I stand in opposition to this bill based on firefighter safety. Communication is the basis for everything. That's why I'm up here communicating to you. That's why we communicate every day. This is no different than a fire service. We have to be able to communicate with our fire crews inside those buildings, no matter what size they are. You know, in my own jurisdiction, we have four-story buildings that we can't get out in. We have one-story buildings. We have movie theaters, schools, all the above that we have there. So the four-story ones is where we're really concerned about this. You know, as Rep. Botana talked about repeaters, he is in our area. It works for us, but that's not a one-size-fits-all. The repeaters works for us, but it may not work in the Miami-Dade area. Higher buildings, more taller buildings. So what we're looking for is a compromise. I know that we've talked with CFO Petronas. We're talking with Senator Hooper. We're talking with everybody. We can make this work, but our biggest opposition right now is for firefighter safety in those four-story buildings. We feel that strongly about it, and I stand here to answer any questions that I can.
Members, any questions while we got him? All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
John Foley, Safer Buildings Coalition. You're recognized when you approach the podium.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the committee. Thank you for allowing me to testify today. I'm John Foley with the Safer Buildings Coalition, the managing director. 45 years experience in telecommunications and happy to provide answers to any technical questions you may have on this technology. The Safer Buildings Coalition deals with eliminating wireless dead zones inside buildings, a very serious problem. And we stand in opposition of 415. On the basis of the four-story or less carve-out, which would eliminate coverage, very necessary radio coverage inside certain classes of buildings. Let me give you some examples. Hospitals, assisted living facilities, large supermarkets, big box stores. The Aventura Mall is 28 million visitors a year and has two stories and a partial third. Would be excluded from coverage in a building like that. So on that basis, it just does not make sense to carve it out. As previously stated, the current statute does require, and the current fire code requires that an RF study be done to determine whether or not there is a problem at a building. So in any building that doesn't have a problem, no system is required. So I stand in opposition to the bill on those points, and thank you for your time today.
Thank you, sir. Ray Colburn, Florida Fire Chiefs Association. Waiving in opposition. Thank you, sir. Eric Prutzman, Florida Fire Marshals and Inspectors Association. Waiving in opposition. Thank you. Also for the Florida Fire Chiefs Association, waiving in opposition also. Thank you. John Pasqualoni, Florida Fire Marshals and Inspectors Association. Did I pronounce the last name right?
Very good, sir. Pasqualoni. Very good.
You are recognized, Paisan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Appreciate it. Members, I want to first acknowledge working with Rep. Montana this session, introduction to the House. Thank you for working with us. We do agree to the dates. I know that question was asked. I don't know that it was answered. We've working with the CFO's office, working with the rep, working with Senator Hooper. The dates do align well. I think there was a question regarding the compliance date, and that date is 2025, as I understand. So you pull the permit in 2024, you have 1 year to complete the work. We had originally promoted trying to do the survey work, and as opposed to having the requirement for the permit in the statutory language. Not sure that's the right place for that. A survey might be more appropriate because statute or a permit has a timeline, so it's going to expire after a certain time frame. But the members of the Safer Buildings Coalition, you just heard from Mr. Foley, and I believe Chief Alan Perdue also has a card in to speak. Those guys are subject matter experts on this subject. They are advocates. It's an advocacy group, national advocacy group. I'm their past chair of their legislative team, so we got quite a bit of interest and quite a bit of experience in this field, and we're here to answer any questions. We're partially opposed because we'd really like the four-story thing to go away. We agree on the dates, but we cannot deal with the four-story thing. It just, there's too many buildings out there that we cannot communicate in, and we just beg your mercy on that one. And I'm here for any questions. Thank you,
Chair. Thank you. Any questions? No. You alluded that there was a couple people who put in appearance cards. We went through all the appearance cards. Is there anybody who wants to speak? The name?
Alan Perdue.
Okay. Did we call? Do we have that? Alan, take the, and just make sure you fill out the, if we can have, just. You printed up, everything is on, okay, don't worry about it then, you're good. And just state the name and the organization that you're with and you're recognized.
Thank you, Honorable Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Alan Perdue. I'm the Executive Director of the Safer Buildings Coalition. Prior to that position, I served 36 years in public safety as a chief over an organization that provides fire EMS and emergency management to the community in North Carolina. This bill impacts not just public safety, but the public's safety. And I want you to think about the men and women that took an oath to protect you and the other citizens and visitors of Florida. Every day, they report to work. They report to a duty station, but their work is the built environment. And I want you to imagine, and when you go to work, you never know what you're going to or what building you're going into. But communications is paramount to providing for their safety. I've sat in this hearing today, and I see you guys communicating, doing your day-to-day work. Well, when police, fire, and EMS respond to an emergency, communications is critical to their safety and their ability to mitigate an incident. The lack of communications leads to chaos. If you look at line of duty death investigations, almost every report highlights a lack of communication led to the devastation and often loss of life. It's important that the men and women who make up our emergency response communities have communications capabilities, not just in buildings that are five stories or higher, but every building that they go into. Think about the headlines you've seen with active shooter events just 2 weeks ago in a grocery store in Colorado. A firefighter killed 2 weeks ago in a four-story nursing home. One-story buildings, two-story buildings, every building has emergencies. And it's imperative that those crews can communicate so that they can save your lives and the lives of the citizens and visitors of this great state. So I implore you to, the dates on the bill, as they said, are fine. Everybody's agreed to work with those dates. But to exclude certain buildings simply because they meet a certain height threshold does not work. That's bad bill. And I know you guys are under a, I serve as an elected official back in North Carolina as well, and you have to make policy decisions. But this is bad policy because it puts the first responders at risk and also the public. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Showing no other appearance cards, members, we are in debate on the bill as amended. Rep. Geller in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Rep. Botano, let me say, I appreciate that you reached out to me about this. And, you know, you're a smart guy, and I think you, you know, have your ears on today. And I have no doubt you're hearing what people are saying. The Aventura Mall happens to be in my district, so I have some concerns when I hear that it could be at risk, and all the my friends and neighbors that are visiting there, my family that goes walking in there, might be at risk. I'm not going to vote for this bill on the floor if that four stories exception is still in there. I've heard enough to convince me. But I'm going to vote up today because I think you've taken on a tough task here. And I appreciate that, you know, we probably need to do something about this. And it would have been easy just to ignore it. And instead, you've waded in and you're taking blows from every side there. But the amendment was a very good amendment. I would not have voted for something that said, we're not going to worry about this for another 9 years. But you're not done. You've got a lot of work you still need to do here. And I'm not going to hesitate to vote no. And if that four stories is in, I'm going to speak against this bill on the floor. I don't know if anybody's going to care but my wife, but I'll do it. But I admire that you're willing, as a new member of this body, to take on a really complicated issue like this that involves the safety of the public, that involves the safety of our first responders, our fire personnel. We've got to keep these people safe so they can keep us safe. I'm going to vote in favor of this bill today to let you keep working on it. I don't want to see it die. And I think what you're doing is admirable, and I wish you luck. I hope you and the Senate can get it together, and I hope you and the fire marshal, and I hope you and all the fire guys who've talked, and my colleague, Rep. Wilhite, and everybody, good luck to you. I hope you can get this thing solved and get it fixed so we can vote to advance on this and address this important topic. And like I said, kudos to you for taking on one of the tough ones. Not enough people do that, and that's why I'm up on it today.
Rep. Geller, just want to say that we care what you say. And so does the two people watching Florida Channel right now. Ranking Member Silvers in debate.
Thank you, Chair. I want to echo the sentiments of Representative Geller. I'll be voting up on this bill today, but I have serious reservations on supporting this bill on the floor if those changes are not made. But I understand you've been working with all parties involved. But first responder safety is paramount. So I'll be voting up on it today.
Rep. DeSigley, anything?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I didn't have my hand up, but I'll chime in anyway. So number one, I appreciate you bringing this bill forward. Clearly, it's important that we, you know, protect our firefighters. Like so much that we do here in the legislature, there's a balance when it comes to good public policy. I've got several high-rise buildings in my district in San Key. They contacted me a couple weeks ago with the concerns of the cost of these upgrades, okay? And so I think that the thing I really like about this bill is we're extending these time frames, these deadlines. So hopefully there's a new technology that might be available. Hopefully that, you know, these condo associations can start to plan, you know, for these expenditures. But that being said, obviously our number one priority here is the safety of our firefighters. And I appreciate you and your leadership on this issue. And I'm going to be up on the bill today. Thank you.
Rep. Wilhite in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about this bill, which unfortunately, to some extent, I have to say, might be one of the worst bills this year. Because everyone's talking about first responders and the risk it is to them. But frankly, members, they're there doing a job they're paid and signed up to do. It's the people they're there to rescue, which are all of your constituents. They're the ones that could potentially die as well, not just the first responders, because the communication that first responders and firefighters doing these buildings aren't to ask what they're having for lunch. It's asked to how to get out of the building, where the means of egress is, where the next, where there's a hose line, where there's a ladder truck, where the next window is, where the fire is spreading to, all these different things that they're communicating to look out for all the residents of that building. And this is the same thing that we're talking about that I've talked about since I've been in this legislature about the sprinklers of the buildings. We're kicking the can down the road until something happens, and then we're gonna say, excuse my language, oh shit. Because that's what happens. And I absolutely recognize, I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, if that was disrespectful, I mentioned that word, say it that way. I absolutely recognize the cost of this. And in the sprinkler issue, the firefighters, for the most part, a lot of times were neutral because they understood the cost to the people that live in buildings. And this is the same issue. But at the same respect, each and every one of us has an obligation to look out for the people that they represent. And frankly, it's not the above four-story buildings that I'm worried about. And I mentioned this in the last stop that I heard it in. I go to Publix, and I can't communicate halfway through the store to the back of the store. That's one story. With today's building standards, with the new materials, with the amount of hardening, all those different things in buildings, radio communication does not work through them very well. So it has nothing to do with height here. Putting repeaters on trucks, that's good if you have your truck that day and you don't have a spare truck that doesn't have the repeater. I mentioned the reference to the adjacent or adjoining agencies that maybe don't have the same kind of communication stuff or have those repeaters on theirs, because any high-rise fire, and I'm sorry if I'm taking too long on this, Mr. Chairman, but it's very, very important to me, it's gonna take vast resources to be able to communicate on this if it is a high-rise fire. I mean, I've only been in the fire service for 28 years. There's two issues that we've had on every fire: water supply and communication. Those are the two issues we have on every single fire, whether it's your batteries are dead or just different channels, whatever those things are. But a lot of times it is just not being able to hear someone else. Costco, getting in a large box store like Costco, you're not communicating through it. So this bill is absolutely not only personal to me as a first responder, but about the people that I serve and protect each and every day. So I will tell you, with that being said, Representative Batana, you've done nothing but communicate with me, no pun intended, from the very beginning of this bill. It concerns me that this kind of bill had two committee stops. This is the kind of bill and the series of the nature that needed more committee stops, because it has not been vetted very well, I believe. So that concerns me. But because you have been open with me, you have communicated, because I think the fire marshal's office, our fire marshal Jimmy Petronas, is not 100% on board with this bill, and the Senate, and you are still all working on it and trying to get to the right place, I absolutely believe that you're going to continue to work on it. And if it gets somewhere, if it gets to the floor, it will have some more amendments to it. The dates are the right thing to do. However, again, we're just kicking it down the road. I'll close by saying I'm going to continue, and I did in the last committee that I said I'll support you because, as some of my other colleagues have said, you are willing to work on this and you're willing to continue moving forward to try and do what's the right thing for the people and all involved, again, not just the cost, but any of the first responders or all of our constituents. So I hope that you've taken what all the people in uniforms here and the subject matter experts in the area are saying, and that you'll take those very seriously and you'll bring that back in an amended bill before it comes to the floor, or I absolutely will not be able to support it then, because again, this issue is not going away, and just because we put a date on it or we put a height limit on it is not gonna fix and solve and save lives. So again, I will vote for it to move forward, but I would really ask that you do some serious work with these subject matter experts to make this bill better and more palatable for all involved. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any further debates? Rep, thank you for bringing the bill. I, too, do have concerns about the four stories, a lot of it for reasons that Rep. Will Height lined out and delineated. My hope is that we can get this bill in the right place to pass it on the floor. So with that, you are recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you to the committee and the people who come up and spoke, the firemen. In fact, I have two constituents from my own district right here voting against it, well, talking, opposing it. But we're going to work forward. I'm going to work with Will Hyde. I'm going to work with everybody just like before. Like I said, my door is always open, and I'm here to work with you and see if we can get this across the line with your help. Appreciate it.
Having closed on the bill, the question now occurs on CSW House Bill 415. Ms. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Vice Chair Drake?
Yes.
Republican Committee Wilt Beltran?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Silvers?
Yes.
Representatives Barnaby?
Yes.
Brown? Daly?
Yes.
DeSegley?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Geller?
Yes.
Haig?
Yes.
Latvala?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
McClure?
Yes.
Nixon is excused. Umphrey?
Yes.
Plakin? Placencia?
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
Rommel?
Yes.
Schoaf?
Yes.
Slotsberg?
No.
Tomko?
Yes.
Will Height?
Yes.
Cherangolia?
Yes.
The bill passes, Mr. Chair.
Members, by your vote, show that CSW House Bill 415 reported favorably with committee substitutes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rep. Want to apologize to the other reps that are sitting there waiting diligently. We had some air traffic control. So we're going to take up the two members next that are sitting there waiting, and then we're going to take the committee members who are on the committee for their bills so we can bring this in for a landing. At this time, I'd like to recognize Rep. Fernandez-Barquin to introduce CSW House Bill 1051 regarding environmental compliance costs. You are recognized to explain your bill when you get to the podium.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, currently utility rates are established by using five different factors. One of those factors is the environmental compliance costs. What my bill does is it expands the definition of an environmental compliance cost in order to also include any costs or expenses from any deals between utility companies and local municipalities when those projects are also going towards compliance for the municipalities' government water reuse requirements. As some of you may know, on December 31, 2025, no municipalities are allowed to discharge any wastewater into the Atlantic Ocean. Unfortunately, Miami-Dade County dumps about 150 million gallons a day of wastewater into the Atlantic Ocean. What my bill would do would empower Miami-Dade County to enter into an agreement with FPNL to divert up to 15 million gallons a day to the Turkey Point plant and use that water not for cooling a nuclear reactor, but for cooling a natural gas unit. I ask for your support. This would help Miami-Dade County. It would help Floridians. It would help us keep our bay clean and help the environment.
Members, any questions of the bill sponsor? Any questions of the bill sponsor? Showing none, is there any public testimony? Dave Serter, he is not here, a proponent of the bill. Showing no other public testimony, members, we are in debate. Rep. Geller in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Very quickly, thank you for this bill, Rep. As I said about an earlier one, to find a bill that helps local government, it's unusual these days up here, I'm glad to see it, and to find one that leads us towards a cleaner environment is a good thing. You combine those two, that makes it a good bill. I'm up on it.
Any further debate on the bill? Any further debate? Showing none, you are recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Geller. Biscayne Bay is, I think one thing that if you speak with anybody from the Miami-Dade delegation, everyone will agree that Biscayne Bay is incredibly important. And we have different ideas of how to improve upon it, but this would definitely be a step in the right direction and help us maintain Biscayne Bay and improve it in the future. So I ask for your support. Thank you.
Having closed on a bill, the question now occurs on CS by House Bill 1051. Ms. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Vice Chair Drake.
Yes.
Republican Committee Will Beltran.
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Silvers.
Yes.
Representatives Barnaby.
Yes.
Brown. Daly.
Yes.
DeSegli.
Yes.
Fabricio.
Yes.
Geller.
Yes.
Haig.
Yes.
Lotvalla.
Yes.
Maggard.
Yes.
McClure.
Yes.
Nixon is excused. Umphrey.
Yes.
Plakin. Placencia.
Yes.
Rodriguez.
Yes.
Rommel. Schoaf.
Yes.
Slotsberg.
Yes.
Tomko.
Yes.
Wilhite. Cherengolia.
Yes.
The bill passes, Mr. Chair.
Members, by your vote, show that CS for House Bill 1051 reported favorably.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members.
Members, we're going to move on to House Bill 535 by Rep. Posada Cabrera. Regarding electronic dissemination of commercial recordings and audiovisual works. You are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Chair. This bill updates the Florida True Origin of Digital Goods Act, which was passed in 2015, which is a consumer protection law designed to protect consumers and creators against websites engaged in the unauthorized distribution of commercial music and movies online. HB 535 would update the definition of electronic dissemination by including display and performance, which would require a person who owns or operates a streaming service dealing in commercial recordings and audiovisual works to post their identifying information on the website. This bill is fully supported by the Recording Industry Association of America and the Motion Picture Association. That is the bill.
Having explained the bill, members, any questions of the bill sponsor? Any questions of the bill sponsor? Showing none, we're in public testimony. Edgar Castro, Recording Industry Association of America, waiving in support. Will McKinley, Motion Picture Association, Incorporated, waiving in support. Showing no further public testimony, members, we're in debate. In debate on the bill before, showing no debate, you're recognized to close.
Waive close.
Having waived close, the question now occurs on House Bill 535. Ms. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Vice Chair Drake.
Yes.
Republican Committee Wilt Beltran.
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Silvers.
Yes.
Representatives Barnaby.
Yes.
Brown. Daly.
Yes.
DeSegli. Fabricio.
Yes.
Geller.
Yes.
Haig.
Yes.
Lotvalla.
Yes.
Maggard.
Yes.
McClure.
Yes.
Nixon is excused. Umphrey.
Yes.
Plakin. Placencia.
Yes.
Rodriguez.
Yes.
Rommel. Schoaf.
Yes.
Slotsberg.
Yes.
Tomko.
Yes.
Wilhite. Cherengolia.
Yes.
The bill passes, Mr. Chair.
Members, by your vote, show that House Bill 535 reported favorably.
Thank you.
Members, we're going to move on to CS for House Bill 1431 by Rep. McClure regarding swimming pool specialty contracting services. You are recognized to explain your bill.
Caught me off guard there, Chairman. Pretty excited to present House Bill 1431. Which creates a new exemption to licensure requirements by allowing unlicensed persons to perform the work of specialty contractors for the construction, remodeling, repair, or improvement of swimming pools and spas. That's the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Having explained the bill, members, any questions of the bill sponsor? Any questions of the bill sponsor? Showing none, public appearance, Christian Camara, Institute for Justice, waiving in support, and Dallas Thiessen, Florida Swimming Pool Association, also waiving in support, showing no further public testimony, members, we're in debate. In debate on the bill before, showing no debate, you're recognized to close. Having waived close, question now occurs on CS for House Bill 1431. Ms. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Vice Chair Drake.
Yes.
Republican Committee Wilt Beltran.
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Silvers.
Yes.
Representatives Barnaby.
Yes.
Brown. Daly.
Yes.
DeSegli.
Yes.
Fabricio.
Yes.
Geller.
Yes.
Haig.
Yes.
Lotvalla. Maggard.
Yes.
McClure.
Yes.
Nixon is excused. Umphrey.
Yes.
Plakin. Placencia.
Yes.
Rodriguez.
Yes.
Rommel. Schoaf.
Yes.
Slotsberg.
Yes.
Tomko.
Yes.
Wilhite. Chair Angolia?
Yes.
The bill passes, Mr. Chair.
Members, by your vote, show that CS for House Bill 615, excuse me, back up. Members, by your vote, show that CS for House Bill 1431 reported favorably. Members, we're going to move on to CS for House Bill 615 by Rep. Rodriguez regarding community association assessment notices. You are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 615 protects consumers by addressing community association assessment notices, and that is the bill.
Any questions of the bill sponsor? Any questions of the bill sponsor? Showing none, is there any public testimony? Showing no public testimony. Members, we're in debate. Debate on the bill before us. Showing no debate, you're recognized to waive close. You're recognized to waive close.
I waive out, Chairman.
All right. Having waived close, the question now occurs on CS for House Bill 615. Ms. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Vice Chair Drake?
Yes.
Republican Committee Wilt Beltran?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Silvers?
Yes.
Representatives Barnaby?
Yes.
Brown? Daly?
Yes.
DeSegley?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Geller?
Yes.
Haig?
Yes.
Latvala?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
McClure?
Yes.
Nixon is excused. Umphrey?
Yes.
Placon? Placencia?
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
Rommel? Schoaf?
Yes.
Slotsberg?
Yes.
Tomko?
Yes.
Will Height? Chair Angolia?
Yes.
The bill passes, Mr. Chair.
Members, by your vote, show that CS for House Bill 615 reported favorably. Moving on to House Bill 6059 by Rep. Schoaf regarding composition of multi-use corridors of regional economic significance program. You are recognized to explain your bill.
I apologize, Mr. Chair. House Bill 6059?
Yes, sir.
House Bill 6059 removes Jefferson County as the terminus for the Suncoast Connector Toll Road, and that is the bill.
Having explained the bill, members, any questions of the bill sponsor? Any questions of the bill sponsor? Showing none, is there any public testimony? Showing no public testimony. Members, we're in debate. In debate on the bill before, showing no debate, you are recognized to close.
Waive close.
Having waived close, the question now occurs on House Bill 6059. Ms. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Vice Chair Drake?
Yes.
Republican Committee Wilt Beltran?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Silvers?
Yes.
Representatives Barnaby?
Yes.
Brown?
Yeah.
Daly?
Yes.
DeSegley?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Geller?
Nice to see a pro-Madison County bill, yes.
Haig?
Yes.
Latvala?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
McClure?
Yes.
Nixon is excused. Umphrey?
Yes.
Placon? Placencia?
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
Rommel? Schoaf?
Yes.
Slotsberg?
Yes.
Tomko?
Yes.
Will Height? Chair Angolia?
Yes.
The bill passes, Mr. Chair.
Members, by your vote, show that House Bill 659 reported favorably. Last bill of the day, House Bill 7049 by Rep. Schoaf regarding OGSR, Office of Insurance Regulation. You are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This bill saves from repeal public records exemptions for certain proprietary business information and certain documents required to be submitted by insurance companies to the Office of Insurance Regulation, and that is the bill.
Having explained the bill, members, any questions of the bill sponsor? Any questions of the bill sponsor? Showing none, is there any public testimony? No public testimony. Members, we're in debate. In debate on the bill before us, Rep. Geller in debate.
First Amendment Foundation is neutral on the bill.
Thank you for that information, Rep. Geller. I was going to call on you anyway for that. Any further debates? Any further debate? Showing none, you are recognized to close.
Waive close.
Having waived close, the question now occurs on House Bill 7049. Ms. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Vice Chair Drake?
Yes.
Republican Committee Wilt Beltran?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Silvers?
Yes.
Representatives Barnaby?
Yes.
Brown? Daly?
Yes.
DeSegley?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Geller?
Yes.
Haig?
Yes.
Latvala?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
McClure?
Yes.
Nixon is excused. Umphrey?
Yes.
Placon? Placencia?
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
Rommel? Schoaf?
Yes.
Slotsberg?
Yes.
Tomko?
Yes.
Will Height?
Yes.
Chair Angolia?
Yes.
The bill passes, Mr. Chair.
Members, by your vote, show that House Bill 7040 9 reported favorably. Members, I just want to set some expectations. That's the end for the bills for today. I just want to set some expectations for the committee We are expecting, it is my expectation that we are going to meet both weeks 7 and 8. I just want to put that out there. It's entirely possible we're going to meet week 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14 also. But seriously, all seriously, week 7 and 8, just expect Commerce Committee to meet. Just want to set up that expectation. That is it for the agenda for today. There is no further business before this Commerce Committee. Rep. Fabrizio moves that we rise without objection. The motion passes, and the committee is adjourned.